It seems like a bit of a wacky idea, but it does have a sound basis in animal behavior theory. So lions and leopards are ambush predators. They rely on the element of surprise to sneak up and take down their prey. When they're hunting natural prey, like impala and zebra, once the animals see them, they often give up on their hunt. So they very much rely on the element of surprise. So what we're trying to do is get into this, interrupt this natural hunting pattern and play some kind of psychological trickery and fool them into thinking they've been seen by the prey. And give up on the hunt. And this is important with cattle because they're obviously when lions kill cows, farmers lose money, and the lions are often killed in retaliation for killing their livestock.
How much of a problem is the predation of cattle by lions there?
Oh, it's a huge issue. So we did a small pilot study last year, and we had three killed by lions in roughly a 3 month period. So it's about one a month. Overall, across Africa, across the range of lions, we're estimated to be losing about 20 times as many lions to these sorts of retaliatory killings in human-wildlife conflict, than are taken by the trophy hunting industries.
It's very much an interesting conflict situation. Now, have you trialled these eyes on cattle rumps before?
Yeah, so last year we did a small pilot study over that 3 month period in this one herd. And we chose this herd because it was right up against the protected area, close to the Maremme Game Reserve in the Okavango Delta. So we chose that herd. It was a herd of 62. We painted 23 cows with these big, intimidating eye patterns on their behinds and left the other 39 unpainted. Over the 3 month period, all of the 23 cows survived, so none of them were taken by lions, whereas three of the unpainted cows were killed by lions during that time period. So it's quite a promising initial pilot study, but I'm back here now to boost that sample size and really test whether it stands the test of time. And what we have had a lot of interest from around different parts of Africa in testing this technique as well. So it's a pretty easy, cheap, and simple thing to do. So we may take up some of these offers and actually expand our study just to boost the sample size and test whether it really works.
Certainly a very simple idea. How are these eyes applied, and are you trialing different types of eyes, for example?
Yeah, that's a good question. It is a very simple idea. And we are, yeah, the idea is to paint the eyes onto the rumps, but we don't do that directly. We use a stamp. At the moment, we're going for very contrasting colors. So with white cows and pale cows, we're using black paint. And with the dark brown cows, we're using some yellow paint. At the moment, I've only tried one particular shape, one particular design, but I think over time we may have to vary that design in order that the lions don't become wise to the process.
Wild dog attacks are obviously very common in Australia. Could this work here in Australia to protect cattle from dog attack? I mean, you did say earlier that lions are ambush predators. I'm pretty sure that dogs aren't.
Yeah, that's right. So Australian wild dogs or dingoes are cursorial predators, so they tend to run down their prey, just as African wild dogs do over here. So a technique that interrupts, they don't care whether they've been seen by their prey. So interrupting that particular mechanism is not going to work for dingoes and other wild dogs in Australia.
On your local ABC, I'm speaking with Dr. Neil Jordan, a conservation biologist who works at the Taronga Western Plains Zoo and also lectures at the University of New South Wales. What's the most difficult thing about this project and getting a successful result?
The most difficult thing with all of these research projects is getting the money to do it in the first place. One of the most important things we're trying to do is actually look at what the lions are doing in that livestock area in order to design these interventions. So we're trying to trap, which means dart and anaesthetize with a vet, lions and put on a satellite GPS collar. across the lions that are moving through those areas, and really build up an understanding of where they're going in relation to the cows. We're also collaring cows, so we'll have this these joint movement patterns, and we'll be able to see where the areas of risk are. But so there are challenges in finding funds to do that work, and there are actually challenges in finding uncollared lions in a human dominated landscape. They're very fearful of people and getting in and getting close to them to dart and collar them is a bit of a challenge.
What do the locals, what do the African farmers think of all this?
Yeah, well, so far they've been pretty receptive. I think originally they think it's a pretty wacky idea, as you know, I admit it is. But as I say, it's got a good basis in animal behavior theory. They understand the idea, and actually they're pretty keen to try anything. The human wildlife conflict here is rife. They lose a lot of their cows to it, and they're keen to try other things. The only tool really that they have at their disposal is lethal control. And actually many of them realize that this is not sustainable, and they are keen not to continue down that route. But they have no other options at this stage. And they're very open to testing this.
How does an Australian researcher find himself in Botswana?
Very good question. Yes, I am working in collaboration with the Botswana Predator Conservation Trust here on the ground. They've been running for 25 years, and I've been fortunate enough to be involved in their projects for the last 5 years or so. And this is the latest one of those projects.
So what does Australia have to gain by this kind of interaction?
Well, it's interesting for Australia, I think, because Australia suffers its own human wildlife conflicts and manages them in certain ways. I think again, like Africa, it's typified by lethal control. So I'm thinking particularly of the dingo example, and by translocation of problem animals. So the flying foxes are often translocated. And both of those techniques are pretty ineffective in the long term, at least in the African context. So by understanding how non-lethal management tools can be effective or not, that allows us to move away from a kind of culture of killing, which is, I think, prevalent in both African human wildlife conflict and also in Australia. So there are a lot of parallels in the way that wildlife conflicts are managed, and a lot of opportunities to learn from both sides.
Certainly fascinating work you're involved in. Dr. Neil Jordan, we look forward to catching up with you on your return when there are some more tangible results, and let's hope these eyes work.
Thank you very much. I very much hope so.